You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
As you were hearing on the network news, this situation down in Florida, trying to find victims in the midst of that Surfside collapse of the tower, and then they brought down the other tower over the weekend to make it safer for rescuers. The death toll now at 32 confirmed. And one fire chief said, we're not seeing any positive signs for void spaces. That means, yes, we're moving from rescue to recovery. And, of course, up until that point, those rescues, you got to keep in mind what they're doing, what they're daring to face going through that rubble trying to find anyone. In the meantime, Florida is bracing for Tropical Storm Elsa. Florida governor's already put a couple hundred of the National Guard forces on standby. He's telling many Floridians already, be prepared to be without power for a few days. Make sure you have food and water for each one in your family, including for your pets. Now, they don't know how bad it's going to be yet, and the exact target still to be determined. This next story, I do not want you to make a determination on either getting or not getting a vaccination based on it, but you should know about it. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is investigating the death of a 13-year-old Michigan boy who got the second dose of the Pfizer vaccine and suddenly died in his sleep 2 days after getting it. He had a fever, general fatigue, complained of a stomach ache, went to bed, never woke up. Yes, they're going to have to find out, did he have other underlying conditions? What happened? In the meantime, President Biden's White House being pressured to ease travel restrictions stemming from the start of the coronavirus pandemic. Parts of Europe are already starting to reopen their border for Americans looking to travel. Vaccination rates in the U.S. increasing. So many public health experts and the travel industry, of course, trying to put pressure on. Let's open things up again. We'll see. Alan West. I respect Alan West, Republican candidate now for Texas governor. Alan West said, I'm not running against Governor Abbott. I'm running for Texas. Now, there's a big point there. Governor Abbott, governor of Texas, Republican, he's done an excellent job from what I can tell from this distance and from relatives I have in the area. They also like Alan West. I just hope they don't split everything up and that some Democrat gets in as governor in the process. That would be my big concern. U.S. Capitol Police now opening regional offices. Increased threats to members of Congress, all tied to the January 6th Capitol attack. I don't know how much of it's real. I mean, the threats are real. Some members of Congress are arming themselves, just in case. Good. But you got voting. You got Virginia Democrat gubernatorial nominee Terry McAuliffe stating it's easier for Americans to buy a gun than it is to vote. What an idiot. He said, call me crazy. Well, I will call you crazy. Not easier to buy a gun than to vote, but it makes good copy for the progressives on the left. And then we had a violent 4th of July weekend. More than 230 fatally shot. 230 fatally shot. That doesn't include those injured. A hotbed of all of it, Chicago. We're going to get into that more in the next segment. I do want to share the story about a Pennsylvania volunteer firefighter. A member of a fire company just outside Philadelphia. They got a call that a home was heavily involved with fire and smoke, so they rushed to the scene. This volunteer fireman and his wife are Canadian. And I only point that out because they had plans. They rushed to the scene. They're searching through the house, trying to see if there's anyone inside, because that's the biggest fear. They're trying to find out if anybody was inside, but They don't find anyone, but then they begin to realize we're missing a fireman. That volunteer fireman from Canada, he and his wife were planning to move to Canada, as I said. They found him on the third floor of the residence, unresponsive. They tried to revive him, not successful. Fire chief said, we lost a true hero. A true hero who was planning that this was going to be his final day of duty and then moved to Canada with his wife. We praise our first responders and pray for them as well, all the time.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We've got to redouble our efforts to call upon the federal government to help us stop the flow of illegal guns into our city. A lot of what we're seeing played out on social media, that there becomes a shooting, a beef from one person to another, one group to another. It's a completely different dynamic if there's no guns.
That's right. That is Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot speaking of the violence in her city over this last holiday. 92 shot, 16 killed, and 6 children among the wounded in the Democrats' Chicago. That is the most violent weekend of 2021 so far. They've had in Chicago. But it's not the only place where we've seen stuff like that. I mean, the violence, as I was saying a moment ago, we have had more than 200 across the nation shot over this July 4th holiday weekend. And some have had to do with someone didn't like fireworks going off. Another case, someone didn't like a party that got too loud. And some were just gang members battling back and forth. They didn't really care who they hit. They were just going to go ahead and open fire. And then you get this ridiculous statement like we had a moment ago, that Terry McAuliffe, a candidate to become a governor, saying, well, it's just so much easier to, you know, buy a gun than it is to vote, which is a lie. But the left and progressives had no problem on telling lies when it comes to guns. That's why you have Chicago Mayor Lightfoot claiming, it's the gun, stupid. It's not the gun, stupid. It's how the gun is used. Keep in mind, this is the same Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who had claimed previously that the spiking of gun violence in Chicago is a result of, quote, racism and sexism, and not her lack of leadership. Oh, no, 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 no. No, not my blame. Not my blame. She was giving this interview to a Chicago PBS affiliate. So she's being asked questions about people raised over temperament, how she reacts to criticism. I'm waiting for somebody to ask Kamala Harris that, too. Or Biden, for that matter. The Chicago Tribune reported the mayor has been known to be tough on staff and confrontation with critics, contributing to significant staff turnover. Sounds very much like VP Harris, doesn't it? Based on the story that came out Politico the other day. And, of course, one of the issues and much of the criticism she's been getting has been referencing the skyrocketing crime. In fact, she was asked, how much of the criticism you've been getting has been the result of racism and sexism? Where the hell did they even come up with that question, first of all? What does that have to do with anything? But the PBS station asked it. I wonder if they were fed the question. Ask her this, you'll get a good answer. Well, she was quick with an answer. How much of the crime increase has been the result of racism and sexism? In other words, and not your fault? Her answer was very quickly, about 99%. Really? Really? Oh, then she goes on to say, look at my predecessors. Did people say that Rich Daley held tea sessions with people that he disagreed with? No, I don't think they did. You're right. Ron Emanuel was a polite guy who was a uniter? No. Well, I don't know that much other than he served under Obama, and then he went to Chicago and realized, yeah, I don't want to be here. This thing is blowing up under my feet as well. But then Lightfoot said, women and people of color are always held to a different standard. I understand that. I've known that my whole life. All right, let's stop there for that point. Women and people of color are always held to a different standard. You want to be honest? I told you I call balls and strikes on this. She is correct. She is correct. There are many times women and people of color are held to a higher standard sometimes simply because of their gender and their color, our color. I've had that discussion with my girls when they were growing up. I said, yeah, you're going to find a sexist world out there that we're all trying to change. And again, in the last hour, if you were listening, I admit that I probably fell in that category in the past, too. I'm not denying it. Now, as a father of two girls, certainly my perspective changed. And also, I hope to say, maturity. I know some of you out there saying, you're not mature yet. Okay, all right, I'll take it. I'm a spear catcher. But what she's saying is not totally wrong there. But it also, unfortunately, becomes a scapegoat, an easy excuse, a reason that I'm not successful because I'm being held to a different standard. And see, that's where credibility falls apart. Let me give you a perfect example. Now, this has nothing to do with gun violence or anything, but I think it's worth noting here. I was with a friend the other day. Yes, I have some friends. And he was talking about, Quentin, are you smiling at me? Of course, in addition to you, I do have friends, Quentin. You're not my only friend, sorry to say. I'm talking to this friend, and he introduced me to his daughter. Beautiful young lady. And he said, she's a monster on the field hockey team. I mean, she looked, you know, the way she dressed that night for evening, I mean, it didn't look like she'd be a monster on the field, but apparently, you know, you get in the game, boy, she turns into a monster. And she got a scholarship to a major university and really happy with it. Well, they had mostly virtual school her freshman year, so she's getting ready to go to that college full time. But they did have a practice session where they brought the ladies in that had competing for a scholarship or maybe had it. And they had the full women's field hockey team on the field, and maybe five guys from the men's hockey team, field hockey, competing against them. Just five. And they were whipping the women pretty hard. And his daughter was complaining, said, that's not right. And he said, what do you mean it's not right? To five of them, you got almost twice as many. What do you mean that's right? Well, they're stronger, they're bigger. He said, I'm glad you're seeing that. He said, what they're trying to do is help you raise your game. They're not trying to defeat you, trying to help you raise your game. But under that story comes the other one, and that is boys, born biological boys, who are not good enough to make the men's field hockey team or men's sport, move into the women's sport, and could take that position away from his daughter, who had a scholarship, or others. So when Mayor Lori Lightfoot says, as a woman, I've known you always had to be better, I've known that, well, that we all understand that, and women have had to do it. And if you've been a particular religion, you had to do it. And if you have been a particular race, yes. And if you have been from a particular part of the country, you're from Texas, you redneck, oil-filled trash, you're going to have to work really hard to prove you're worthy of being on TV. And I did. And others have too. But what gets me is when they want to fall back and use that as an excuse for everything. We're talking about deaths and violence in Chicago, and she wants to bring that up and blame 99% of all the criticism she's getting on that point. Chicago has had 326 murders so far. 326. They had 323 in the same period last year. 241 in 2019. Sexual assaults is rape also up, 22%. And Chicago facing the highest rate of gun violence since 2016, when at that time the city had a full-blown gang warfare. So with this July 4th violence they just had, and for her to say that the issue is illegal guns in the city, and by illegal she means they went to some other state to buy them and bring them in, which suggests that every gun was bought legally somewhere else. Is that what, well, then it wouldn't make it illegal. But I couldn't really interpret what she's trying to say or what she means, but the fact is, if her concern is that neighboring states sell guns and Chicago has tougher laws than they do, they all still have to follow federal background checks. That's the base. Some states, like California, are trying to impose others. And, in fact, they're talking about now that if you're a legal gun owner, you're going to have to pay a tax. Yeah, they're going to tax you every year if you got a legal gun. You got more than one gun, we're going to tax you more. In other words, they're going to make it onerous to have a gun. Oh, that's kind of like a Jim Crow voting law, right? That you're going to have to pay poll tax if you're going to vote. Well, I don't have the money to pay for a poll, so I can't vote. That's right. I don't have, with everything else, I mean, you're going to make me, and if I don't, then you're going to come confiscate, and then you're going to charge me criminal. See where that's going? It's another assault on the Second Amendment. But here we have Chicago Mayor Lightfoot saying the problem in the crimes or in my city, it's one, it's because racism and sexism, I'm accused of, that all these people that are racist and sexist against me, and the fact of all these guns are coming in from other areas. Well, let's get a response to that. A Republican councilman, Anthony Napolitano.
That's political smoke and mirrors. That's not the problem. Look at it this way. Chicago and the state of Illinois have the strictest gun laws. It's a statistical fact that the bulk of our guns or illegal guns come from our border states, and not a single one of our border states or any of them combined have anywhere near 5,800 people shot in the last 17 months. Right. What politics won't tell you is we have a human problem. We have a people problem right here. There's little accountability. Politicians won't blame families for raising their kids. The gangs are raising their kids right now. We have over 117,000 gang members. That's your problem. Yeah. That is your absolute problem.
That sounds like a pretty big problem. 117,000 gang members in Chicago? That's pretty frightening, isn't it? And it's got to be frightening for parents who are trying to keep their kids out of gangs. I mean, not every kid that's in a gang is there because they don't have a parent or parents to help shepherd and guide them and trying to control them and trying to help them walk the straight and narrow. There are cases in those gangs where the kids really do have support at home, and they're pretty smart. They're not just idiots, but maybe they see fast money, or maybe they got pressured. Peer pressure is very big, if you recall at all, being that age. Peer pressure is very big. Now you turn it around, and you want to be part of the group. You want to be part of us, and if you're not, you might well be a victim of us, as in a gunshot. And it's not getting easier for kids to that extent. You can't just say Chicago is the only place where all this happens, obviously. St. Louis has had a big problem recently. Detroit, L.A., New York City. Crime is going up everywhere, and part of it can be traced directly back to the progressive attitude, we don't need cops. If we have cops, they don't really need to take a gun into every case they go to. And then, of course, you get progressives who say, you know, this country wasn't really founded on equality anyway. It was founded to make any people of color slaves, really. All right, let's examine that when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
It's been a hard day's night. I've been working hard like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. I've been treated like a dog. But when I get on with you, I find the things that you do. It would be all right.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So Congresswoman Cori Bush, Democrat of Missouri, she's up for re-election, you know. I want to remind you of that. Of course, she's got a good constituency in her area that some of them might be listening to this program. I've heard from some in her district. She said that Independence Day, we were all celebrating. She said it's just a holiday for white people. Land is stolen land, and black people still aren't free. Still aren't free. Well, of course, there was a lot of immediate backlash from the right and some on the left. I want to make sure you understand some on the left also said, how can you do that? Radio host Clay Travis, who is one of the Limbaugh replacements right now, said, you make $175,000 a year of taxpayer money to rip the country's people that pay your salary? Show me any unfree country in the world that's possible. And you can't. I've said that before, too. Show me another country where you can do just as well or better. Maxine Waters also weighed in a rambling tweet diminishing the holiday, saying July 4th, and so the Declaration of Independence say all men are created equal. Equal to what? What men? Only white men? Isn't that something they wrote in 1776 when African Americans were enslaved? They weren't thinking about us then. She's right. It was all written by white men. And yeah, even though they talked about equal, it was not that way at that time. It was the beginning of a nation, and it was not that way. We have come a long ways, though. As they used to say, the women used to say, baby, right? Well, you would come a long ways, and Gloria Steinem, I'm woman, hear me roar. And now they have to all take a back seat to transgenders coming in and say, we're not being treated right. And then you have this thing. I mean, you talk about how many different ways these things play out. If you're always going to make it based on color and race, you do know, I'm sure you've heard to some extent, that Rachel Nichols will no longer be the NBA final sideline reporter because there's been some issues with Maria Taylor in the process. She's been the sideline reporter, and maybe you don't follow the NBA, but apparently, Malika Andrews will be the sideline reporter because Nichols was basically heard in making some comments on a hot mic that, you know, she should have a better job. She's being denied because of basically she's white and suggesting that I don't get to do the main stuff because I'm white, and then that blew up. I mean, it's all. I'm not saying she's wrong. I don't know if you're right. I haven't even looked at all the details, but it's just one of these other things that blows up. And then consider this. The Army put out a video the other day showing soldiers training. They're still training. They're all wearing Army shirts, black shirts with yellow writing on it, black shorts and black socks and shoes. And most of those marching in cadence are white, and they're wearing masks while they're outside marching. That's right. Outside marching, they apparently have all been vaccinated. At least we're told they were, but they're still going to wear masks. And so it's getting a lot of criticism and mocking. Some of the remarks saying, what? I'm confused. Aren't they all vaccinated? Why are they wearing? A retired Army colonel looked at that and said, this proves the Army's a disaster and woke. And others are saying this isn't the military it used to be. But one thing about this clip that no one made any issue about, and I'm not saying it's supposed to be an issue, but it's just interesting. There is only one, from what I've seen of the video clips, I see only one black soldier trainee at that point in the marching, only one. But you know who the drill sergeant is? I love this. The drill sergeant is a black woman. And, boy, she is barking out command. I mean, she is the ultimate drill sergeant. If you've ever faced off with a drill sergeant, be it the Army, the Navy, Air Force, certainly in the Marines, you don't care what color or gender they are. They're just the DI, and you were worthless in their eyes. I love it. She's doing a great job. She's got them marching, and she's giving them what for. That's the way a drill sergeant should be. Thank you, ma'am. May I have another? Hey, coming up, Gordon G. Chang, China expert. We know China wants to control us at some point. Do they really have a chance, either economically or otherwise? And signs that China is prepping for nuclear war? Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website. Rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Always glad to have on board our expert on China, Gordon G. Chang. And you can find him on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. Glad to have you back, sir. Welcome aboard.
Thank you so much, Larry.
I've got several things I want to cover with you. I've got to go immediately to the thing that comes right to the top. A piece you wrote titled, China is Preparing for Nuclear War. Now, I don't know if you wrote the headline, but that's what the headline is. How close is the headline to what you're trying to state?
Yeah, it's close. And I did write the headline. China right now is ramping up its nuclear arsenal very, very fast. Satellite imagery shows they're building 119 silos in the Gansu province desert. And they've also got about 26 other silos that they're putting in place. These silos are going to accommodate the DF-41, and each DF-41 can accommodate 10 warheads, and they can reach the continental United States. This means that China, if it doesn't have it now, will soon have an arsenal which is about the size of America's, which means really what it's trying to do is not minimal deterrence, as a number of people have told us, but really what it wants is a war-fighting capability. Now, we know this because Chinese generals and political leaders have been threatening us with the first use of nuclear weapons. And so clearly this is something that Beijing has got on its mind. And if it's talking about it in public, it means it wants to do it.
Well, why? What's the sudden escalation? Is it because they see us as weak with Biden compared to Trump? I mean, was some of this underway when Trump was in office? Or is it all new, totally new?
Well, it was underway when Trump was president. But it's, you know, mostly a reflection. It is partly a reflection of what they think about Biden, but it's mostly a reflection of problems at the top of the Chinese political system, because Chinese foreign policy is almost entirely driven by politics at home. And that means it's not about us. It's about them. And I think right now they've got an insecure and arrogant group. It's hard to be insecure and arrogant at the same time, but Chinese leaders managed to do it. And so this is really a time of great concern for us. You know, a lot of people say China in 2030 or 2040 will be bigger than us or whatever, and they worry about war then. I don't worry about war a decade from now. I worry about war now when Chinese leaders see a closing window of opportunity, because a weak China is actually more dangerous than a strong one.
I'm going back to days of high school and high school debate, I think even some college debate. And at the time, one of the issues was nuclear weapons and should we totally disarm or build more. And at that time, we were at a mutual destruction level that, you know, we had enough missiles between us and Russia to wipe out the world. I mean, why did we need more, and how do we begin to build them off? I'm looking at this report you have, references DF-41 missiles, maximum range of 9,300 miles, and each can carry 10 warheads. And with that deployment, that would mean, according to the fellow you quote from the Mitchell Institute for Aerospace Studies, 1,450, almost double what we have on day-to-day on alert force.
Yes, and we also we have some that are deployed which are not on alert. But the important point here is that you've got both China and Russia working together. And that means that they basically will have double the number of weapons we have. Now, we have enough to deter, but it does start to look inadequate when your adversaries believe that they've got great superiority over you. And, you know, this is a matter of life and death, so we've got to stay pretty close to what our adversaries have.
Well, let me ask you, how much do Russia and China trust each other in the midst of all this?
Not as much in peacetime, but when you get to a situation where things are tense, I think they might trust each other a lot. We have seen both Moscow and Beijing exercise their militaries together. They coordinate their foreign policies. And although they may not in the long term have an enduring partnership, that doesn't really matter. What matters is what they're doing right now. And right now, they seem to be pretty close to each other.
And you also point out that Beijing has even named 12 cities slated for destruction. I think we could probably name them as well. But, I mean, they're already targets, right? I mean, I think we could probably guess which 12 cities, might leave one or two out or add another one that's not there.
Yeah, the list that China came up with, a little bit odd in some places. I think they're going to target some places that are not on the list as well. But the point is not what cities they chose, but the point is that they actually talk about this unprovoked.
Yeah.
You know, this came out of the blue. And what we're talking about is a series of articles across Communist Party and central government state media that were coordinated almost in identical language, which means that this was driven from the top of the Chinese political system, which is really perplexing in the sense that there was no obvious provocation. And that's really, I think, important for us to realize that, as I said, it's about them. It's not about what we're doing. We're not triggering this. This is Beijing.
The other point I want to get into briefly, you're listening to Gordon G. Chang. Again, you can find him at Twitter, at Gordon G. Chang, the China expert. I just happened to watch last night, again, the sum of all fears, Tom Clancy nuclear destruction based story, basically, where there's a new president of Russia, and they're battling with Chechnya, and we have a president here in the U.S., and they're trying, you know, to find some mutual grounds, and yet a missile, nuclear device that had been given to Israel by the U.S. back during the 73 war between Israel and Arab Egypt, it got lost, now it's been recovered, and dissidents are using it to make it look like Russia hit us with a nuclear device, and we're responding as if, yeah, we got to retaliate, and they're trying to decide, do they retaliate? In other words, one incident, one little incident, can truly set off actions against each other. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, if, for instance, North Korea were to hit us, they probably would smuggle in a nuke across our undefended borders, assemble it, and set it off in the city of their choice because they could deny this. But what we're talking about are nukes on missiles, which have return addresses. We can see where they're launched. From where they're launched. And so there's not going to be the situation that you talk about. And it's the Sum of All Fears is an important book because it highlights how we could start a Armageddon.
And the main forces aren't to be involved. We jump to that conclusion.
Right. But if someone set off a nuke in an American city, I don't think that there would be quick retaliation. And there might not be retaliation at all when you work through all of the dynamics of what happens, because you got to do the forensics. You got to figure out who set it off. It could be China, it could be Russia, it could be North Korea. In a few years, it could be Iran, or maybe even Iran now.
But everybody ramps up. Everybody ramps up. You start going DEFCON 1, DEFCON 2, and I mean, suddenly everything's on an escalation.
That's true. That is indeed true. And you know, if you step back and think about the broader pictures, it's in the interest of the United States that nobody have nuclear weapons. But right now we're in a situation where some countries absolutely insist on having them. So we've got to have them too, and we've got to have them on hair trigger alert, and we've got to do a lot of other things that are exceedingly dangerous. It's not good, it's not optimal, but that's the way the world is right now.
And you mentioned Iran, and of course Israel has to be concerned about its sovereignty and protection as well. Before we wrap up all this time, the President Xi Jinping over the weekend, or the week marking the 100-year anniversary of the party's founding, just flat out said, we're not going to allow any foreign policy bully, oppress, or enslave us. Anyone who tries will face broken heads, bloodshed in front of the Iron Great Wall of the 1.4 billion Chinese people. And I mean, that's not smoking a peace pipe. That's throwing words and threats and what?
Yeah,
just lies?
Threatening to crack skulls and spill blood. And essentially, Xi Jinping was talking about Chinese unification. China believes that it should have territory under the control of other countries. And so really this was a threat that if you stand in the way of our aggression, we will kill you. But there were other statements that were made in that speech which are even more ominous. And there's one that Xi Jinping basically tells the world that he's the world's only legitimate ruler and everybody else is
right,
subservient to China. So it was a very, very belligerent speech.
And we got the issue with Taiwan. We have the Olympics coming up in Japan. And, of course, the concern over that. Hong Kong, we have G7 partners as to what they're doing. We've got the re-education camps of the Uyghur Muslims. I mean, we got a lot of things in play with China.
Yes, this is an extremely dangerous time. And it's not a good situation, but it's not anything that we did. Basically, Beijing right now, because of, as I said, this very strange combination of attitudes is exceedingly dangerous right now. And we've just got no choice but to defend ourselves.
Gordon, in final 20 seconds, I mean, you're not painting a very bright, optimistic picture, sir.
It shouldn't be. We should be thinking of these as the last days of peace.
Well, that sums up everything. That is the sum of everything. Thank you very much for your time, Gordon. We will be talking to you again short of a nuclear fallout, all right?
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, sir. Gordon G. Chang, Find him at Twitter, Gordon G. Chang. Yeah, you should be frightened by listening to the conversation. On alert, anyway. Coming up, did our U.S. soccer team diss a World War II veteran, or was that a fake story that caught fire? Stand by, please.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Please welcome 96-year-old World War II veteran Pete Dupre.
What you heard was the introduction of World War II veteran Pete Dupre as he was playing our national anthem. Now, what happened with the story that suddenly surfaced is that, according to the original story, several members of our U.S. women's national team did not face the flag as the 98-year-old veteran was playing the national anthem. Now, that happened yesterday. Just before our national team, our women's national team, took on Mexico in their final tune-up before the Tokyo Olympics. Again, we're talking about a World War II vet, 98 years of age, playing the harmonica with the national anthem. So when this story came out, immediately it caught fire because, yes, we have had members of our world soccer team, our U.S. soccer team, including Megan Rapinoe, and saying, that flag doesn't represent me. I'm not going to stand there and kneel, turn away. And yet we've had other players stand there and turn their attention to the flag and put their hand over the heart and everything else. Well, the real story, and that's why it's important that you hear this, because when I first heard it, I was incensed, and rightly so. I still don't like some of the things that happened, but it was not as originally presented. Apparently, they were facing the flag. It was at the other end of the field. They weren't turning their back to him. They were looking at one of the flags. Now, I'm not making an excuse for them. I'm just saying that. I will say that it appeared to all the children, the young girls out there with the players, all had their hands over their heart, and they were giving more honor than some of our players did, because Rapinoe and others did not put their hand up over their heart, but they stood silent, and apparently they were looking at the flag. It might have looked like they were turning their back on him, but that's not what they were doing. But, of course, the problem is we've had previously U.S. athletes, especially even for the Olympics, snubbing the flag while qualifying late June. Just this month, of course, hammer thrower Gwen Berry, or last month, turned away from the flag when it was playing the national anthem and made a big noise over it. And many Americans, and I think rightly so, if you're going to go and represent our nation, you should be proud of that flag and the national. If you don't like it, then go compete in another country and compete for them. But they don't. They don't, because for all their complaints about this country, this is still the country everyone's trying to get into, even illegally if they can. There's another U.S. Olympian who had some remarks on Twitter about our Independence Day. He said, For about 54 years, people have asked me not to keep saying I love America. That's what he's saying. That's what he put on his tweet. He said, for about 54 years, people have asked me to not keep saying I love America. Well, I do, and I'm not ashamed. Don't leave it. Love it. Happy 4th of July. Here's a guy that obviously is a big name in sports. He said, I'm not ashamed to be an American. I'm telling you, I'm not even saying you have to leave the country, but just love our country. Recognize what you have. That's what he's trying to say. Recognize what you have. Will you find this anywhere else? Any other country? Would you have this opportunity? And for many, the answer is no. If they really think that they are, that they could do it somewhere else, well, then let them go. But they're here. Now, for some of them who don't like this flag, they should consider it a communist country because then they'll pay for everything for them if they can qualify. Who made that statement? Oh, I'm sorry, you're asking who made that statement? Who said for about 54 years people have asked me to not keep saying I love America? Well, I do, and I'm not ashamed. Happy 4th of July. George Foreman. Back to Peter DePre, wrapping up the national anthem. It was remarkable. And boy, the crowd loved it. Remember our pledge. Remember our pledge. And remember the truth about the stars there. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.